بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. We continue the explanation of عمدة الأحكام and we have reached حديث 203. This hadith, the hadith of Abi Sa'id al-Khudri رضي الله عنه قال نهى رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم عن صوم يومين الفطر والنحر وعن اشتمال الصماء وأن يحتبي الرجل في الثوب الواحد وعن الصلاة بعد الصبح والعصر. أخرجه مسلم. But this is incorrect. أخرجه البخاري بتمامه وأخرجه البخاري. نعم. Abu Sa'id al-Khudri reported that the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم forbade to observe fast on two days, the day of Fitr and the day of sacrifice. And in its complete form, it is reported by Al-Bukhari. And he forbade also to wear or to put on a way of dressing known as As-Samma, and we will explain what it means. And also forbade another way of sitting in one garment known as al-ihtila, and also forbade that no prayer, or said that no prayer is valid after the asr till the sun sets. No prayer is valid after the dawn. No prayer is valid after the asr, and no prayer is valid after the dawn. In this complete form, the collector said it is reported by Muslim, but in the complete form, in fact, it is reported by Al-Bukhari. Nevertheless, the meaning of the hadith, the general meaning. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam forbade fasting 2 days, the days of the An-Nahr, the sacrifice, and the day of Fitr. And we explained about this, concerning this in the previous hadith. Now, he forbade putting on As-Samma. What is As-Samma? It is said that the person wrapping himself in one garment or cloth and does not leave for his hands a way out. And also it is said to mean Al-Ittiba', which is that the person makes the middle of his garment under his arm, the right arm, and it ends on his left shoulder, as it is in the ihram. This is another meaning for the for this kind of forbiddance which the Prophet ﷺ mentioned, As-Samma. The third meaning, it is said that this refers to putting the garment on his head and leaving its ends side, or the sides of its ends, loose. Does not wrap it. These are the meanings of the term As-Samma. So, in accordance with the first meaning, they said that the reason is that he fears that if someone attacks him, he could not find a way to defend himself by having the garment wrapped up all over him, having no way for his hands out. So that this, you know, it is feared that with this kind of dress, the way it is put, he will not be able, the person, to defend himself if he is attacked. According to the second and third meaning, the reason it is said that it is feared if he puts it in this way, like the ittiba' and like putting it on his head with the ends loose, that his awra may be exposed. And especially if he doesn't have except one garment on him, one piece of cloth on him. This is which the Prophet ﷺ forbade in terms of this kind of garment wearing. The second thing in this hadith, he forbade the ihtiba'. This is a way of sitting. The person sits on his buttocks, his legs against his belly, and and he draws them tight towards his back by a belt or the like. This is the meaning of ihtiba. But what is the wisdom behind this? What's the reason? It is said that the reason is fear of having his awra exposed if he only has one piece of cloth on him. But if he has other, then there is no prohibition. Meaning if he has some kind of pants underneath the cloth or the garment, then there is no problem with that. And this kind of sitting was forbidden on another day, the day of Jumu'ah. However, the forbiddance is applicable if the person uses a belt. If he uses his hands instead, then there is no prohibition. They said that the reason is that this kind of sitting is a very comfortable sitting. And Imam Ahmad said, what a tranquil way of sitting. And that they said that the reason is that it can put him into sleep because of its comfort. This is when having the belt on, tightening himself, his legs and his gut with his garment, drawing together his legs against his belly with the garment, or and having a belt also. However, they said if it is with his hands instead of a belt, then this is not forbidden, because if he's about to go to sleep, then his hands will be released, and thus he would be alerted. But with using a belt, it is possible that he will sleep while not feeling so. Okay. Did you imagine this type of sitting now? Did you imagine this type of sitting? He sits on his buttocks and drawing his legs against his belly and his shins against his belly and ties that with a garment or a piece of cloth, confining them therewith together with his back, bending it, making it tight upon them so as to preserve him from falling. And sometimes he uses a belt. Sometimes using a belt. You understand? Because this way it will make him lean against his back. Is that now imagined? Okay. Ihtiba. Okay, in this hadith also, the Prophet ﷺ forbade praying after Salat al-Asr and after Salat al-Subh, al-Fajr. Meaning, the forbiddance here applies to voluntary prayers that has no cause. And this has been affirmed in other narrations, where the Prophet ﷺ said there is no salah after Fajr until the sun rises, and there is no salah to be done after Asr until the sun sets. The benefits of this hadith. The benefits first. The forbiddance to wrap oneself in this form known as as-samma, as explained earlier, because of the reasons mentioned. Now you understand as-samma and what it means? The three meanings for the word as-samma. We mentioned three meanings, right? Right. First, it is said that the term as-samma is to put on the clothes or wrap up on oneself with a garment or a cloth, having no way for his hands out, having no way out for his hands, meaning under the garment. And they said that the reason for this is to, he will be putting himself in a situation not able to defend himself properly if he's attacked. Is that clear? This is one meaning. Clear now? The second meaning. The second meaning is exactly as the meaning of ittiba. You know the ittiba for the man in Hajj, in pilgrimage, where the person puts the middle of his garment under his arm, right arm, and his and the left and its end on his left shoulder, right? This is the ittiba. You know that? Fine. They said that this, the reason is, this may expose a person's awra. And the third meaning is that the person puts the garment on his head and makes its ends loose without wrapping it around himself. They said also this can potentially expose his awra. So therefore, that is the reason for the prohibition, depending on the meaning, right? Depending on the meaning of as-samma, meaning the way it is, the garment is dressed, right? Now, the second prohibition here is the ihtiba, using one garment, but not using two. In case if using two, it's not forbidden. Clear? And it came in the narration by Imam al-Bukhari that the prohibition, if he has on him one thawb, because this will lead to the exposition of the awra. Clear so far? Clear inshallah so far? Fine. The third benefit from this hadith is the prohibition of fasting on the days of Eid and the Eid al-Nahr, the Eid of Sacrifice and the Eid of Fitr. The fourth benefit is the forbiddance to pray after Salat al-Subh, after the dawn prayer, and after Salat al-Asr. However, other narrations indicate the permissibility to pray in these times, the prayers that have cause, because of the hadith of Ibn Umar. In the hadith of Ibn Umar came the following wording, لا تتحروا, don't seek to pray after Asr nor after Fajr. So therefore, the one who therefore prays because of a reason, he is not really trying to seek to specify these times to pray therein. Is that clear? So the prayers that has causes, the correct opinion is that it is permissible to perform them even during these prohibited times. Like for example, Tahiyyat al-Masjid. Tahiyyat al-Masjid. When the person enters the Masjid, there is the two rak'ah known as the salutation of the Masjid. The person can do them at any time, even including these times of prohibition. Clear now? Also from this is Sunnah al-Wudu, the Sunnah of Wudu. Sunnah al-Wudu. If a person makes Wudu, there is a Sunnah for that, right? To pray two rak'ah. So he may pray that even if after Asr or after Fajr. Is that clear? Take the following case and think about it. A person suddenly is encountered with a matter and needs to know and ask Allah guidance concerning this matter by performing Salat al-Istikhara. And he cannot delay. Can he perform Salat al-Istikhara under these situations in these prohibited times? The answer is yes. The answer is yes. Tayyib, if it is not urgent, if it is not urgent, should he perform Salat al-Istikhara in these times? He can delay it. Now, this is not something urgent. It is not urgent. So in this case, he delays it. Then he delays it till after. You understand? He delays it till after to get out from this time, yes. You understand the difference now? You understand the difference between the two situations? Now, someone is in Medina. And wants to go to Quba, the Masjid of Quba. His intention is to go there, enter the Masjid, and wait for Salat of Dhuhr, for example. Or enter the Masjid and wait for Salat al-Maghrib. This is one case. Another case, someone wants to go to Quba, enter the Masjid and leave. Which one in these cases it is permitted for him to pray during the prohibited times? Which of the two? The one who intends to sit and make Salat al-Maghrib and something like Salat of Dhuhr. No. The other, about the other person, should not pray. No, he should not pray during these prohibited times. If he wants, he can go to Quba during what times? The unprohibited times. The Prophet ﷺ used to go Duha. The Prophet ﷺ used to go the Duha time. Duha. After Dhuhr, fine. We're not talking about this. We're talking about the prohibited times and the unprohibited times. The difference between the two. No. So the person may go during the unprohibited times. There's no problem with that. We're talking about the issue of Salah and the prohibited times. No. Clear now, yeah? Clear, inshallah. The next benefit is the keenness of the legislator in keeping the ummah away from resembling the mushriks. Why? Why is this? Because they pray at sunrise and sunset. At the time of sunrise and the time of sunset for shaitan. Tayyib. Case. Someone makes a vow and says, he makes a vow to pray 2 rak'ah after Salat al-Fajr, and he's ignorant, he doesn't know that the Salah after the Fajr the voluntary one is haram. Is his vow now a vow of disobedience? And is there anything upon him? No. His vow is not a vow of disobedience, because he does not know. And there is no expiation upon him. There is no expiation for his vow. Now, but if he knows, then he must not fulfill his vow, and he must expiate. And he must expiate. Is that clear? I'm talking about Medina, the expiation of an oath. The expiation of an oath. Yameen. Talking about Medina, the places that are legal to visit in Medina are first the Prophet's Masjid. The Prophet's Masjid. And when the person is there, he may visit the grave of the Prophet and his two companions. But one must not initiate a special travel saying, I am going to visit the Prophet's grave. Now, second, from the places that are permissible to visit while in Medina is the Masjid of Quba. During the unprohibited times, the third one is the Baqiyah, the burial site of the companions, for men only. The Baqiyah, the burial place of the companions. May Allah be pleased with all of them. And this is for men only, the Baqiyah, yes. The fourth is the burial site of the martyrs of Uhud, the martyrs of the Battle of Uhud, visiting the martyrs of the Battle of Uhud, again for men only. Someone may say, then what about women's visiting the grave of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Some of the scholars said, although it is not permissible for women to visit the graves in general, then visiting, however, the grave of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and his two companions is an exception. And the reason for this exception is that they said, in fact, this does not constitute a real, legal visit. Because legally, the visitor stands by the head of the visited. And this is not possible in terms of the grave of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Because the grave is far from the place of standing of the visitor, and between the visitor and the grave, there are three walls. There are three walls. So they make this exception in accordance with this. And this is the saying of Imam Malik, rahimahullah, who said that this does not constitute a real legal visit. And that's why the scholars here are only working with respect to this, meaning they are lenient on this because depending on the saying of Imam Malik that it does not constitute a real legal visit. And Allah the Most High knows best. The next hadith, hadith 204. عن أبي سعيد الخدري رضي الله عنه قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم من صام يوما في سبيل الله بعد الله وجهه عن الناس 70 خريفا. أبو سعيد الخدري رضي الله عنه reported that Allah Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم is saying he who observes fast for a day in the way of Allah في سبيل الله in the way of Allah, he would remove his face from the hell to the extent of 70 years distance. This covers, this is general, this covers the young, the old, the male and female. He who observes fast for a day in the way of Allah. What is the way of Allah? Some said that this refers to being in accordance with the Sharia of Allah, and that the Prophet ﷺ intended to alert concerning the two conditions of acceptance and correctness of worship, and they are the intention, the pure intention, and the following of Sharia. However, this is weak. And the correct opinion that what is intended by the way of Allah fi sabilillah here is al-jihad, fighting, the battle fight in the cause of Allah. What indicates the weakness of the first saying is that the term fi sabilillah, in the way of Allah, when it's generalized, then it refers to, in particular, refers to jihad. Secondly, the issue of ikhlas, of the sincerity and following, are conditions for all kinds of worship. So if we restrict here and say the way of Allah means this refers to the two conditions of worship, then there will be no benefit in this hadith, because it is known that they are from the conditions of worship. So we don't need to have a restriction. Because also we know that whoever does not have the pure intention and does not have the good following, then his worship is not valid. So therefore the correct meaning is that in the way of Allah, fi sabilillah, means a person fasting while in jihad. And this indicates that the person intends good, because in this case he combines the hardships of fasting and the hardship of being in jihad. The reward, the way of Allah, he would remove his face from the hell to the extent of 70 years distance. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would remove his face away from hell. He mentioned the face. And we know that when the face is removed, then this also means the body. And here he denoted by the face, because the face is the most honorable part of the body. This hadith also indicates that the fasting of this day for the person in jihad expiates his sins, because if it isn't an expiator of sins, then there would be no removal of the face from hell to this extent. In the hadith it is mentioned that Allah, so in the Arabic it is mentioned, he would remove his face from hell to the extent of 70 kharif, kharifa. And the kharif means the year. And although we know that the term kharif is one of the four seasons, of the year. We have Ash-Shita, winter. Al-Rabi', spring. Al-Sayf, summer. And Al-Kharif, autumn. And he used the donation of one of a part to denote the entirety, meaning he denoted a season to indicate the whole year. The benefits of this hadith. The first benefit is the merit of fasting in jihad. However, if the fasting would weaken the fighter in jihad, then he should not fast. This is because the Prophet ﷺ said to his companions during the conquest of Mecca, he said, "Inna mulaqu al-adu ghadan." We shall meet the enemy tomorrow. Wal-fitru aqwa lakum. Breaking the fast is stronger for you. The next benefit, the reward of fasting one day, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala expiates the sins of the person. And reward takes form in attaining what is sought, as well as in being saved from what is feared. Here in this case, the reward is najatum min al-marhub, safety from what is feared, which is hell. Similarly, punishment could take the form of missing a matter which is beloved, or attaining something disliked. Like, for example, when the Prophet ﷺ said, whoever keeps a dog, except a dog of for hunting and for al-harth, agriculture, or the like, then the reward will diminish for him each day the measure of a qirat. So therefore, in this case, the punishment here is missing something beloved, losing reward. Nothing disliked occurred to him, but he is, in this case, if he keeps such a dog, then he will miss a beloved matter to him, and that is the reward. It will be diminished for him. And this brings the end of the discussion on this hadith. And inshallah, tomorrow we'll go to hadith, to a new chapter, which is the chapter of the night of decree. The night of decree. We still have 7 hadiths left, inshallah, to finish this book on fasting from Umdat al-Ahkam, inshallah ta'ala. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Most High, to make in all of this effort a benefit for myself and for all of you. Alhamdulillahi الذي بنعمته تتم الصالحات وصلى الله على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين.